Hello and welcome to this 14 lesson series on creating dynamic web-based applications using Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. These lessons are designed for the C# programmer who also knows some HTML and help that person become quickly acquainted with developing ASP.NET 2.0 applications using Visual Web Developer 2005 Express. We'll also demonstrate many of the latest ASP.NET 2.0 features that make creating dynamic database-driven websites unbelievably simple. So over the course of the next 14 lessons, we're going to cover the following topic matter. In this lesson, we're going to cover many of the absolute basics, including creating an application, albeit a very small application, from beginning to end in order to demonstrate the workflow of working with this new tool. And then we're also going to cover things like how to open and close projects, how to work with the toolbox, and the Solution Explorer, and more. In the second lesson, we're going to talk about creating user interfaces for our web forms. We're going to look at some of the controls that are contained within the toolbox. We're going to also look at how to position them on our design surface using both relative and absolute positioning. We're going to look at a toolbar that helps us to position in a very precise way the various visual elements that will appear on our form. In lesson number three, we're going to write some C# code to demonstrate how to handle events that are initiated by the user's interaction with our web page. We're also going to talk about the concept of postback and how this gives us the ability to offer our users a very rich interactive experience with our web pages without having to sacrifice any of the functionality that we would want to perform on our server side. In lesson four, we'll talk about web application state and how to maintain state within a stateless environment like the internet. Then in lesson number five, we're going to talk about the tools that are built into Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition that allow us to debug our applications much in the same way as we currently do with Visual C# 2005 Express Edition or with Visual Studio, where we're able to set breakpoints, step through lines of code as it's executing. Also, we'll be able to demonstrate how to trace your website to monitor its performance even when it's running live out on the internet and get feedback from our applications to see how they're doing, which will help us hunt down any very obscure bugs that might be occurring within our website. Very neat. Then in lesson number six, we're going to talk about the aesthetic side of our applications, working with style sheets, and then also a new concept called master pages. You can think of these as just templates at a very global level for our web applications that will allow us to change the look and feel very easily. And then we're going to move on in lessons 7 and 8 to talk about not only databases, but data binding the data that's in databases to user interface controls. And in lesson 8, we will kind of work through some more advanced concepts where we're working with a grid view and a data view control in order to modify the data in a database. Then in lesson number 9, we'll talk about how to make sure your website is secure from unauthorized access by using the new membership and login controls that are available in ASP.NET 2.0. In lesson number 10, we'll talk about kind of the grunt work, the dirty side of application development, and that is actually configuring, building, and deploying the website out to the internet. And then in lessons number 11 through 14, we'll be building an entire application from beginning to end, again to show the workflow and to bring all the things that we've been talking about together into one application. And so we'll be building a quiz or testing engine that allows an administrator to create a series of multiple choice or true-false type questions and then allow many different users to sign up for these tests, to take one or more tests, and then be able to track their results. It'll be a pretty straightforward application. It won't be quite as full-featured as several other similar applications that are currently available commercially for sale. However, it's going to allow us to flex our newly acquired skills in creating dynamic web-based applications. And whenever we're talking about dynamic web-based applications, they're also referred to in ASP.NET 2.0 lingo as web form applications. And this is kind of as opposed to Windows forms or WinForm applications. So I'm going to assume that you know nothing but a little bit of HTML and a little bit of C Sharp, that you've created some C Sharp applications in the past using either Visual Studio or the new Visual C Sharp 2005 Express Edition. I'm also going to assume that you've already downloaded and installed Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. If you haven't, please take the time to download it from the following location before we go any further. You can download it from http://msdn@microsoft.com/express/vwd. Now, I'm excited for you because I've been developing applications using Microsoft tools for over 12 years now, and this latest set of visual development tools is the most elegant and easy to understand to date. It makes applications, creating applications a lot of fun, and so I'm happy for you that you're going to get to experience this. So let's go ahead and get started. What I want to do is create an entire website to show you the workflow of creating web applications in Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. Now, when I refer to workflow, I mean the steps and the process that I go through to create an application from start to finish. And this way you get a total picture of how to use the tool. Now, for this first pass, like I said earlier, we're going to be creating a very, very, very simple example. So the purpose of this is that we don't get sidetracked by the application itself, but rather we'll focus more on the tools and the process that we go through in order to create the website. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to take my mouse cursor and go to the menu, the File menu, New, and then I'm going to select Website. The new website dialog appears. You can see that there are several templates that are installed, and I can also search online for templates. I'm going to make sure just to have ASP.NET website selected. I'll need to select a location where I want to save my project and my website that I'm working on. So you can see here where it's going to place by default my website files. It's in the Documents and Settings for my current user, who happens to be Bob. In the My Documents folder, there will be a Visual Studio 2005 folder with another subfolder called Websites. And here at the very end, after the last slash, we can delete everything and type in the location where we want to save and the name we want to give to our website. In this case, I'm going to call it Hello World. Also, I want to make sure that the language is selected as Visual C Sharp. And then I'm going to click the OK button. And after a moment or so, Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition will create a new website for us based on the template that we selected. Now, again, I'm assuming that you are already familiar with C Sharp, so seeing the Solution Explorer over here on the right-hand side should not be new to you. You can see here that we have one file that's in our project, default.aspx. And the .aspx file extension denotes to the ASP.NET runtime engine that will handle the page requests that come in from our web users. It lets the engine know that it should be responsible for this page. Now we have the page automatically open up in our main area, as you can see from the tabs at the very top. And what we have in line one is something that doesn't look anything like HTML, but everything after line one looks pretty much like what we would expect to see in an HTML document. You have a head, a body, and you have our HTML tag that encompasses both of those. Additionally, we have a form tag and a closing form tag, and so on. Also, take note that we're currently looking at the source view for our web page, the HTML view of our web page. We see a little icon down here that's selected that says Source View. But we also, if we were to select this little design icon next to it, we get a design view. So if you've ever worked in a tool like Front Page, for example, you have a WYSIWYG, or what you see is what you get, designer surface where you can drag and drop visual elements out of the designer and work with a more graphical view of our web page, or we can move over to the source and look at the underlying HTML code that comprises that page. Okay, so what we'll want to do at this point now is drag and drop a label onto our designer surface, and I'm going to drag a button to the designer surface, and I'm going to use my mouse cursor to go between the button and the label, and then just hit the Enter key on the keyboard to create a little bit of a separation here. Now this is where we begin to separate ourselves from just building another HTML page. I'm going to double click on the button, and when I do that, notice that I am now looking at a C# page of code that looks very similar to the code behind for the Windows Forms applications that we've been working with up to this point. And also notice that we get some event handler code that looks very similar to if this were just a button on a regular Windows Forms application. I get protected void button one click, and I even get like object sender and event args e passed in. So what we have is a very full-featured environment where I'm able to provide our user a web page written entirely in HTML, but work then behind the scenes whenever somebody clicks a button or interacts with the web page in some other way. I'm able to write C# code that will handle those events. And notice that this is stored in a different file, default.aspx.cs. We can look over here in our Solution Explorer and notice that we have the default.aspx, and then you can see the hierarchy underneath default.aspx, almost as if this file were to support our web page. We have the default.aspx.cs file that we're currently looking at in the main area. So I could do something like this. I've got a label one, and you see I get the full benefit of IntelliSense just like I do whenever I'm working with Visual Studio or Visual C# 2005 Express Edition. So when I use the dot notation, I can still see all the properties and methods that belong to a given control. In this case, I'm going to set the text property, again, similar to the label control within a Windows Form application. I'm going to set this equal to Hello World. And again, I'm writing C# code in order to do this. So here's what will happen. Whenever somebody clicks a button on our form, Hello World will be displayed in our label. Let's go ahead and test our application to make sure that this actually works, and then we'll come back and notice some things about our application. Now we get this little message the first time we run each and every project that we create within Visual Web Developer, and that is it asks, would you like to enable debugging for this web application? If we do so, then we're going to create an entry in a configuration file called the web.config, and I'll come back to this, what the web.config file actually is in another lesson a little bit later down the line. For right now, let's just use the default and select OK. And notice when I do that, that there is a little message that pops open from the Windows XP taskbar that informs me that we have an ASP.NET development server running at this location. And notice that it's localhost :1037/hello-world. We can even see this now in our web browser. So what is the purpose of this little development server? Well, if you're not already running another web server on your desktop, say for example you're not running Internet Information Services on your Windows XP or Windows 2003 desktop, then Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition supplies its own little mini testing web server that will work for the purpose of just development. Now, in some organizations, they won't let you put IIS on, or maybe you're running Windows Home Edition, Windows XP Home Edition, so it's not you're not even able to run a web server on your local machine. And in that case, then you've got this neat little utility that allows you to still develop applications on that platform. Another very important feature of the local web server is that it only accepts local requests. In other words, requests from your browser on your computer while you're working on the development version of your website in order to ensure the security of your computer and your network. So nobody, while you're testing your application, is going to be able to do a port scan, find the port that your little web server is running on, and then be able to somehow break in your computer, steal files, or install any malignant code on your machine or on your network. It's just not possible. So now we have our application as it's currently running within a new instance of Internet Explorer. I'm going to click on my button and notice that when I do, that the word label is replaced with Hello World. So we have an interactive application. We were able to write real C# code in order to enable some interactivity between our web page and what the client sees and the server, what actually goes on behind the scenes. And we'll talk about how this works throughout the remainder of the series of lessons. So this is pretty cool, right? I mean, we're able to leverage our existing skills in developing C# applications by being able to drag and drop items from the toolbox onto a designer surface, just like we do when we create WindForms applications. We're able to double-click the various controls and then write code to handle the events, and write code, I might add, using C# as opposed to some other scripting language. So we're able to leverage our existing knowledge of the programming language. And then we're able to deliver to the user a very interactive web-based application. But how does this all work behind the scenes? I mean, how are we able to harness more of this power in order to build applications? Let's spend a few moments talking about the internals of ASP.NET 2.0. First of all, let's start with your current experience with building C# applications. You're probably already familiar with the concept of a .NET assembly, right? You create C# code, and then you use a C# compiler to compile that code into what's called a .NET assembly, which is a special file that has either a .exe or a .dll file extension. And then that file runs in the context of the .NET runtime, and by doing so has access to things like the .NET framework class library. The .NET runtime manages memory and security and other things for our application. But we know that assembly that's initially created is only created using what's called intermediate language, and once that assembly is run on the target computer, that there's something called just-in-time compilation that takes the intermediate language code and converts it into a real binary that then can take advantage of the specific configuration for that computer based on the operating system, the memory, the processor, and so on. Okay, so the exact same thing happens whenever you're building ASP.NET applications. The code that you write within the default.aspx.cs file, in this particular case, gets compiled into a .NET assembly. The .NET assembly, as well as all of the .aspx pages, the .html pages, the configuration files, and everything else, get uploaded to a web server. When the very first user requests a page, let's say the default page from the web server, what happens is that the ASP.NET runtime engine that runs within the context of Internet Information Services sees this page directive that we've just glossed over up until this point, and it looks for the code file and the inherits properties in order to associate itself with the underlying assembly that was created based on the code, the C# code. So the page directive is the hookup between the HTML world and the assembly world. And from that point on, the ASP.NET runtime engine knows that your web pages are associated with that assembly and executes the methods in the assembly based on the requests from the actions that are taken by the viewer of your web page. And we'll talk about this more in lessons 3 and 4. But there's a little bit more to it than that. There's some other actions that take place as well. Notice that whenever we dragged and dropped a label and a button from our toolbox onto our designer surface, that it created two entries for us here within the source code. First of all, you see the special tag ASP:label, and then the next one in line 14, ASP:button. You see there's some properties set and so on. The ASP.NET runtime engine dynamically creates a version of your web page by stripping out any special tags that were inserted while dragging and dropping controls from the toolbox on your form, just like the ones we see here in lines 12 and 14. The neat thing is that this dynamically created page is created different based on the user's web browser and functionality, or whichever version of HTML and JavaScript that that particular web browser supports. It combines that with whatever output results from the code that you write in C#. And that again is referred to as the code behind. So then it finally delivers this dynamic version of the web page with all the changes made to it, both from your code and from the ASP.NET runtime engine, back to the user's web browser that originally requested it. So let's go ahead and run the application again and take a look at the source code for this page. I'm going to right-click anywhere and select View Source Code, and notice that it turns our label control to a span tag, and then it changed our ASP colon button tag to an input type submit name button. So it turns into real HTML. There's also some other neat things, and we're only looking at a very simple example here. There's also a concept of view state, and we'll be looking at that, I believe, in lesson 3 or 4. And there might be some additional JavaScript that's inserted into this web page based on what type of functionality is enabled within our application. Now, I've really oversimplified this quite a bit since we're just getting started. And truth be told, we really don't need to know how it all works internally. After all, we are just getting started. But I thought you might find it helpful to know that there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes that support your application development efforts. ASP.NET 2.0 takes care of a lot of the dirty work so you don't have to worry about it. That's what makes it a logical choice for a web development platform. So much is taken care of for you that you can just focus on the task at hand, which is to develop the logic specific to your web application, and then just leave the heavy lifting to Microsoft. Okay, so let's do this. Let's go ahead and save our application. And then what I want to do is shut down Visual Web Developer and show you where this is actually saved on our hard drive. I'm going to open up the Windows Explorer and navigate to My Documents, Visual Studio 2005, Websites, and you can see here we have the files for Hello World in a subfolder. Notice that we see our default.aspx page, our default.aspx.cs page, and then also our web.config, which we've talked about just briefly but haven't explained a whole lot about up to this point. But here's where our files are saved whenever we save them by default as we're creating our application. There's also some additional files that are saved within projects. You can see here in the Hello World folder under projects within Visual Studio 2005, there's a .sln file and a .suo file. Again, these are used to manage the files that are available within our website. So this is used from Visual Web Developer's perspective and will not be uploaded whenever we go to deploy our application to an actual web server. Let's go ahead and shut this down. I'm going to start Visual Web Developer up again. And now let's open up our project that we've been working on. I can do this in one of several ways. First of all, you'll notice that it's listed here within the recent projects. I can also select open from the bottom of the recent projects and select this to open up a website. Or I can go to File, Open Website, and then select from the available websites. In this particular case, what I want to do is go to Visual Studio 2005, Websites, Hello World, and then select Open. Let's close that little window there. And we're back to our Hello World app. Okay, so let's continue on and talk about adding more pages to our website. And the way that we can do this is either to select the Add item from our standard toolbar, or I can right-click our little project within the Solution Explorer, and we can select Add New Item. And here you can see a list of maybe a dozen, two dozen items that can be added to our project, including HTML pages, style sheets, XML files, databases, schemas, web services, classes, text files, data sets, and a lot more. We'll probably talk about a third or a half of these over the course of the next 13 lessons in this series. For right now, what I want to do is select another web form. I'm going to rename the web form to secondpage.aspx. I'm going to make sure that the language is selected as Visual C Sharp. And here, I'm going to either check or uncheck place code in a separate file. Now, if we were to select this, then we would get the file like secondpage.aspx.cs, a file that would contain all of the source code that we would execute on the server to handle the events that occur whenever users interact with our application. However, if I come from a more classic environment where I'm not comfortable with this arrangement, what I can do is unselect this and have the actual C# code intermixed with my HTML code. So I'm going to leave that unselected and click the Add button. Before I do that, notice that we have another option, select master page. We'll talk about master pages in lesson 6, so we're going to leave that unselected for right now as well. I'm going to click the add button, and notice now that I have my second page.aspx available, and notice here that I have it loaded in my designer. I'm going to go to the design view. I'm going to drag and drop a label and a text box. Whoops, a button rather, excuse me. I'm going to double click on the button, and this time notice that I get my button one click event, but in the context of my .aspx page. Notice I have two script tags, and between them I have protected void button one click with an open and close curly brace. So in here, I can do the same thing that I did before, label1.text equals second try. And so what has happened here is that instead of using two files, I'm using just one file. Both are perfectly acceptable. They work the exact same way. Your applications will, whenever they're compiled and then run, all of the C# code gets stripped out and put in assembly just as if you were to put it in a separate file, so it doesn't change the functionality at all within your applications. It's just a matter of preference. Which would you prefer to do? And whenever we run our application, you'll note that it works exactly the same. Now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to right-click second page and select Set as Start Page. That'll be the page that then comes up whenever we hit the Run button on our toolbar. Again, we get our development server, and I click the button, and notice that I get second try. So now that I've shown that we can add it, I can also right-click in the Solution Explorer and select Rename to rename the file, delete, or I can also cut and copy the file or whatever else I would like to do with it. Okay, so those are some of the absolute basics of the workflow of creating web-based applications. We not only introduced this series of lessons, but also then built a very simple example and talked about how it worked behind the scenes, the purpose of the page directive, and how an assembly is created from the code behind or the underlying C# code that we write, and then how the page directive points to that that assembly that's automatically created for us. We talked about saving the project and where it's actually then saved on our hard drive. We looked at how to find our application once again, load it back up into Visual Web Developer, how to add new items. We talked about the difference between code behind or just having the code, the C# code integrated right into the HTML. And so while we didn't really cover anything in depth, we were able to cover a broad range of topics in this first lesson, and that's all we need to do. Now we're going to dive in over the course of the next 13 lessons and start explaining more and filling in some of the more of the details for you. In fact, in the next lesson, we're going to get more into depth on creating user interfaces using controls from the toolbox. We're going to demonstrate how to use some of the special toolbars and options for the graphical aspect of our web applications as well. So I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please visit www.learnvisualstudio.net to download and watch over 400 videos just like this one aimed at all skill levels on many different topics related to C#, Visual Basic, ASP.NET, and more. Thank you.